Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
One of our guests today, Christopher O'Reilly, he will be appearing with the From the Top crew at the Gettysburg Festival on Friday, June 18th, with a performance and also a party. The executive director of the Gettysburg Festival is Alice Estrada, and she is our guest today as well. Welcome to Crossover, Alice Estrada.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you very much.
I guess you're the one that knows what the overall plan is and how this all came about. I think you did tell me in passing that this was the third year for the festival. Is that right?
That is correct. We are embarking in our third year, not including a little prelude weekend we did in the fall of 2007.
Now, is this what was the whole idea of this initially when you planned it? Was it
the premise of the festival was actually a cultural tourism initiative that we will attribute in large part to Governor Rendell, who believes in the arts, as you know, being
yes,
in Philadelphia,
of course,
and also sees that Gettysburg is a very special place and needed to grow and expand and diversify its tourism base. So he provided seed money for us to start a cultural tourism initiative in the Gettysburg Festival. We've borrowed several different festival models to create our own. It's been compared to like a Spoleto-type festival. Virginia Arts Festival has mm-hmm. one as well. So we've taken kind of a hybrid of many festivals, but we do represent all the genres. So we're not just music and we're not just visual arts.
Yes.
We're not just ballet or dance. We're many, many different things.
Now, one of the big highlights of this festival this year is that Christopher O'Reilly, who was the host of From the Top, and of course a very accomplished pianist, will be hosting a From the Top and actually presenting some of the outstanding students in your area, is it, or generally throughout the country?
Actually, throughout the country.
Okay.
We're fortunate that one was selected from Lebanon, Pennsylvania, but there was no guarantee that would happen, but she's a very talented 13-year-old. That will be performing as well. Yeah, we're thrilled that he's headlining our classical programming lineup, and it's really a perfect fit because the festival does like to provide platforms for emerging artists, and what better programming than this to do that?
I see that this is at the Majestic Theater. How does this work at the festival? Are there certain venues there that you use or in order for someone to go there or to get tickets? How
yes.
do they arrange
well,
this?
Well, we try and drive everyone through our website if possible because it's so comprehensive and it answers all your questions, but certainly they're welcome to make a phone call to the festival offices as well. We have several venues, which makes us a little different. We're not like a festival that's in one location. We do use our beautiful performing arts center called the Majestic Theater in downtown, but we also use the Gettysburg College campus, which is a beautiful, beautiful campus, really Shangri-La.
Yes.
And then we use the Lutheran Seminary. We use our downtown galleries. So the whole idea is we use the whole backdrop of historic Gettysburg as a venue for the festival.
I've never been to Gettysburg, but I've heard that it's very beautiful. And, of course, the college is quite beautiful as well.
It is.
So then From the Top will be on Friday, June 18th in the evening. And
that's
then,
correct.
And then there is a post-party with student performers on actually preceding that in the morning, isn't there?
Well, actually, it's right after the performance that evening. And there's an opportunity to meet. They tell us that you think everyone wants to meet Christopher O'Reilly, but in reality, a lot of the guests in the audience want to meet the students because they are just so amazingly talented.
Yes, you have the cellist is from Lebanon, and
yes,
then you have a violinist from Port Matilda. I don't know where that is in Pennsylvania.
I don't know where that is either. I'm going to have to look that up.
And then we've got a tuba player from Georgia and a 14-year-old pianist from Palisades Park, New Jersey, and then a quartet from the Institute of Music in Chicago. How did that work?
Well, they basically looked to get a pretty varied programming with each of their programs, or so they tell us. So they're not looking for, obviously five violinists in one program. So
okay.
They do look to diversify that, and they are not limited to one student or one child. They can definitely do ensembles. I know there's been plenty of brother and sisters and sibling teams, so they're very creative that way.
They're creative, and it's been a tremendous success from the top. Now, also part of the festival is an organ spectacular, the concert.
Right. We are very fortunate in that we have a very talented German organist named Felix Hell, and he is in residency at the Lutheran Seminary, and he will be performing later in the week. And that is a free concert, and the seminary chapel is truly magnificent. Great acoustics as well, so he'll be performing there.
That's going to be on the 22nd, which is a Tuesday. So actually, the from the top information is for the weekend, which would be Friday evening.
That's correct.
Yes, and then the concert, the organ concert, is on Tuesday, and that's at 7 p.m. And then you have something on the festival main stage. Now, where is that?
The festival main stage is on Gettysburg College campus.
Okay.
And it is, again, a beautiful little enclave, all treed, and it's a really picturesque place to experience a concert. Weather cooperating. We do have rain locations for everything. But
now,
there's nothing better to enjoy a concert outside.
Oh, it's beautiful, yes. And that's on Friday, June 25th. The South Hills Junior Orchestra, who are they?
They are from South Hills, Pennsylvania, and we were very honored that they contacted us this year. They're a very, very accomplished orchestra, maybe one of the most accomplished in the United States. And they happen to be, you know, near Pittsburgh. And they select places to travel each summer. Sometimes it's Vail Music Festival or Epcot Center in Florida. And they contacted us this year and said we'd like to perform. So that's another free concert on Friday the 25th at the Gettysburg College main stage. So we're thrilled to have them. And again, it's a platform for emerging artist youth as well as seasoned professionals. We have a whole diverse grouping of artists performing.
So is that the entire program? It runs the 18th, the 22nd, and the 25th, but what else is happening?
Yeah, Jill, you've hit on a lot of our classical music programming, and I think you have left out a chamber music concert, but I should mention that, you know, in terms of music, we have brass all day, the first Saturday of the festival. It is wall-to-wall brass bands.
You really don't get
a comprehensive listing of brass bands highlighted by Boston Brass, which is really one of the best in the country.
Yes, it is.
Also, we get the Marines to come out every year, so that's a lot of fun. It's a free event. Again, it's a picnic. We are combining it this year with a culinary food fair because, as you know, culinary is a big part of the festival, so you'll get to, you know, see how get honey straight from the hives, and they'll have all kinds of demonstrations.
My goodness.
Celebrity chefs there as well. Former White House chef Walter Scheib is very involved in our festival.
Oh, yes, he's right here in Philadelphia, Walter.
He's there quite frequently, as well as we have a chef, James Parker, who'll be creating art out of vegetables. He's apparently the Food Channel champion on that.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. And when was that going to be?
That's the Saturday the 19th. So if you come down from the top, you could stay the night and enjoy that.
My goodness, what else?
We have 10 unique culinary events, I should mention, and that is one of the signatures of our festival. Again, designed by Walter, never in a typical situation. We have farm-to-table dinners in a beautiful restored barns. We have a hallowed feast out on the seminary lawn where you'll enjoy Civil War period music and iconic dishes from the North and South. So it's, again, a whole smattering of different types of events.
That sounds wonderful, though.
And formality. So if you really want a four-course wine pairing, you can have that. Or you can have a, you know, Sunday supper type, family-style dinner as well.
Now, all of the culinary events are throughout, or are they just on those?
Actually, they are throughout the festival. Some of our, you know, they really go throughout the week. We have some of our events are intimate, so they're not meant to be for the masses. They're really meant just for 50 people because we don't feel like we can accomplish the you know, specialness and uniqueness of it in the masses. But some lend themselves to crowds, like our Beers, Blue, and Barbecue, and that's a real just party.
Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
Oktoberfest
exactly.
In June, yes. And that is when?
The Beer Spoon Barbecue is a prequel to our Kevin Eubanks jazz concert, which is Saturday the 26th.
Oh, my.
And that's fun. And I should tell you, too, we feel very strongly about featuring PA products throughout our festival. Of course, we are the governor's initiative, and we want to celebrate all great things Pennsylvania. So PA Craft Beer is our featured product throughout, as well as some Pennsylvania wines and all the great agricultural products from Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, my mouth is watering and my ears are ringing, and I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful festival. So now, what do you suggest to people? Is there a number to call?
Yes, they may call us at 717-334-0853. That's 717-334-0853 for more information. But as I mentioned before, our website is so comprehensive.
And
what
is
that? You can download
a
whole comprehensive guide. You can get information and details and prices on every single event. And that's GettysburgFestival.org.
Is that all one word? GettysburgFestival,
yes.
All one word, .org. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Alice. It just sounds so exciting. And I'm sure that you're going to have a tremendous turnout. I hope the weather holds out, but I'm sure you have contingencies for that as well.
We have to, but if the weather cooperates, it's all the better. But Jill, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
It really sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Alice, and
all
good
right.
luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We need it.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
A returning guest and a fine, fine artist, Christopher O'Reilly. Today we speak with him. Not from the top, but from the studio. Welcome to Crossover, Chris.
Thanks.
You are the host of From the Top, which has really been an exceedingly successful show. And you have a wonderful attitude. You're very funny and you're relaxed. And the whole show actually is really quite thrilling. Tell me, how has your life changed doing From the Top?
Well, I think the most important change, the advantage that I think I am most blessed by is just the idea of being a concertizing pianist and walking out on stage and having the feeling that the audience are friends of mine because of From the Top and because of the loyal listenership that follows the kids and me every week. It's an extraordinary change in my life.
But it's a whole different...
Yeah, I like that.
I'm sorry. It's a whole different role for you, though.
Well, it's a different role, but I think, you know, there is something to be said about reaching across and making a personal connection with the audience. And that's what our kids do. That's what I do. And so I think more often than not, I end up doing a fair amount of talking as well as concertizing. I think people would find it odd if I were on stage and not speaking at some point. So that helps a lot in terms of playing new music, unfamiliar music for audiences. So that's been a big change.
But you have a many-pronged career, as it were. Mm-hmm. I mean, you actually studied to be a concert pianist. You are a graduate of the New England Conservatory, and you've done touring, and of course you've done recording, but you've also gone in many odd directions, odd in the sense that that's not really what I think you had planned.
It's interesting. My favorite was, I played a concert in the Berkshires last summer with cellist Carter Bray, who's been a friend for decades, and he's the principal cellist of the New York Philharmonic, and, there was apparently a carload of people coming up from New York City to see the concert, and the woman in the back seat was saying, "You know, who's this? You know, there's like a whole mafia of O'Reillys. There's one that's, you know, there's one that has a radio show. There's another one on television. There's another one who does this Radiohead stuff. There's a conductor. There's, you know." And now, who's this guy who's playing with Carter? And the driver says, you know, it's all the same guy, okay?
And this one does the tango as well, right?
Exactly, right.
I think you have a recording of Le Grand Tango, don't you, with him?
With Carter, yes.
Yeah, which is wonderful, yeah. But again, I think, you know, life is funny. I mean, you know, we take paths and we never know where they're going to lead us. But looking at you objectively, I think certainly you have established yourself as a very, very fine pianist. But I think From the Top has really put you in the homes of so many, many people. And as you say, you have become a personality because of it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that is, again, I don't like to use the word surprising because all music comes from the same place, but you have kind of hooked on to many of the great rock artists and you've done transcriptions of their works. And I was wondering, mm-hmm. did you listen to some of them in your younger years?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I have always been trained as a classical pianist since the age of 4. But very early on, relatively early on, I think about sixth grade or so, I realized that the speed of my octaves in the Liszt mm-hmm. Hungarian Rhapsody number 6 was not really going to help me with girls. Girls didn't really like the Liszt uh-huh. so much. So, and my sister was into the Beatles and she started getting me into pop music and I started listening and, just following my ears, I ended up sort of in the indie rock at the time sort of thing. And I thought maybe it would be nice if I started a rock band, then maybe girls would like me. But,
did you and did they?
I didn't do so well with the girls, but it was another way of making music and I immediately responded to it. And so I kept with it all the way until, making my decision to go to the New England Conservatory of Music because at the time Gunther Schuller was the president of the conservatory mm-hmm. and he had an extraordinarily, universal, you know, one could say Catholic tastes in terms of music. And in terms of the respect of all kinds of music. So when I was at New England, I was pursuing classical music. At that point, I was also playing jazz professionally in high school back in Pittsburgh. So I was sort of under the impression that I was going to follow through on both. But when I got to the conservatory, I really felt like there was more of a challenge to me to resuscitate and reinvestigate works of the classical era, and that it was more of a challenge to do that than to lend my, you know, sort of idiosyncratic, you know, 4 choruses of Straight No Chaser and mm-hmm. and call it a night. So yeah, I stuck with classical music after I arrived at the conservatory, but that didn't preclude involvement in all kinds of other different musics. Gunther had me tour with the New England Conservatory Ragtime Ensemble. So yes. We're playing a lot of Scott Joplin and, mm-hmm. and investing, you know, the early jazz history and playing some Jelly Roll Morton and Ubi Blake and James Reese Europe and all kinds of folks. And then, we were also at, one of the years that I was there with Gunther was the, International Society of Contemporary Music had their World Music Days in mm-hmm. Boston at the conservatory. So we were doing innumerable concerts, chamber-wise and orchestral concerts. I think we did Wozzeck, a concert version of Wozzeck, Gunther's last year.
Congratulations.
So I was playing a lot of different things. And, even since then, you know, I've run into Gunther, on a number of occasions and he's really such an extraordinary mind and, such a great role model for all musicians to take all kinds of music seriously. You know, it's not, you know, it's playing Scott Joplin was not a busman's holiday. There was a style to be learned. And I think that's helped me a lot in terms of adapting to other styles, in terms of investing myself in other contemporary music, in terms of readdressing pop music in a solo piano idiom, in terms of playing music that I have enthusiasm for, but, you know, really delving into it and trying to learn the style from the ground up. I also am a great, I do love the tango music, the new tango of Astor Piazzolla.
Piazzolla, sure.
And I had the opportunity of touring with Pablo Ziegler, who was Piazzolla's yes. pianist for many, many years. And, you know, enthusiasm is not enough. You really have to, you know, as he taught me very, very well, it's always a dance. It starts from the ground up. Americans have sort of a jazz infused relationship with the new tango music, and it really has to be a much more earthy sort of connection to the rhythm and the the pulse of the music. So yeah, I'm always learning from everybody that I play with and interact with. That's also been an extraordinary part of the work on From the Top, because I'm always trying to put myself at the service of our young guests. And I always make clear to them that I want them to play exactly as they want to play, and I should, you know, put myself at their service to make them sound as well as they possibly can.
How do you feel about music as a career for these talented young people?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of great training in music, and in particular in the United States. I don't think there's a better place to study classical music in particular than the United States. But at the same time, I think kids are not assuming or presuming that once they have a diploma in hand, they're going to have a way of making a living. I mean, we're seeing many of our symphony orchestras, many of our major symphony orchestras in dire financial straits, Philadelphia being
yes,
among them, Cleveland,
certainly.
Of course, another
mm-hmm.
one. So I think the kids, you know, are first and foremost, you know, I respond to them and they respond to me in that they're not only interested in one type of music, and they're interested in alternative means and alternative means of dispersing music and distributing music. There's a lot more online activity, and there's a lot more encouragement of originality in terms of, not only in terms of interpretation, which is really fine tuning. You know, I mean, how many different ways are there to play Siegerneerweisen? Thankfully, there are really quite a number of different ways of playing it. But the fact of the matter is, it's more interesting if you, as a musician, are able to present yourself in a way that no one else does.
Which you have
that
certainly
can involve.
Done.
I guess I've done that.
Yeah, you've done it.
And,
certainly.
And these kids are really, I think, understanding that that's really part of what they need to do at this point in order to make a living in music.
Are you optimistic about the field of music?
Oh, much more optimistic than I would have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago. When I was going to school, you know, there were a lot of aimless, you know, music students who loved music but had no idea how to make a life out of music. And I think kids now have a much, much keener sense of music in the world, as well as finding out about music and the history of performance by virtue of access to technology. To be able to find out how to play a Bartok Rhapsody by watching, you know, Bartok accompanying Joseph mm-hmm. Zsigeti playing this music. They're enthusiastic about the plethora of different styles and different ways of doing things, and they avail themselves of this technology in learning and constantly pushing themselves.
But making it in the business, that's the thing that they never teach you in conservatory, never.
Yes, and I have to say, I hate to say it, but, you know, as I say that there's never been a better place to study music, or there's never been a higher standard of excellence in terms of training musicians, the business of music has never been populated by a more huge community of semi-competent and semi-enthusiastic purveyors. The executive branch, if we're going to say, you know, if there's a branch of the music industry,
you mean the non-performers,
that is the business,
yeah.
The non-performers
mm.
are really not qualified in very, very many circumstances. And we've seen orchestras go under, and we've seen horrible labor situations in orchestras due to, you know, complete unfamiliarity with the life of musicians, with the place of music in the community at large. It's not rocket science, but you really do need to have a passion, and you really do need to have the training, and that is really not there on the business end.
Unfortunately, you need that, and then you need to have the understanding of business as well. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess, is something that, that's a very difficult role to fill. But what I'm quite interested in with you is how, and that's the way it happens. I think did you just kind of fall into from the top? I mean, this was an opportunity for somebody. Mm-hmm. They needed somebody who was approachable, who was talented, who was easygoing, who could handle kids, and you have a way about you that is very relaxing and fun, and yet you are an artist. That doesn't preclude that you can't be an artist, but it's something that you get across. And then I am more intrigued as well with your transcriptions, because you've had mm-hmm. quite a lot of success with your recordings, haven't you, of all these mm-hmm. rock personalities.
Sure.
It's interesting.
Well, actually, they came hand in hand, in fact, because when we originally formulated the idea of From the Top, and this was as I came aboard. First of all, I came aboard because I was an alum of the New England Conservatory of Music. Our two executive producers, Jerry Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales, were associated with NEC, mm-hmm. Jennifer on the development committee, and Jerry as a trustee. Jordan Hall, our main hall, was designated landmark status and was getting a facelift, and they thought, well, what a great thing to do, maybe to make a radio show and have it housed in Jordan Hall, like, you know, Prairie Home Companion had the theater in St. Paul. So, and they also looked around for a host, and, you know, not looking too far afield, an NEC alum myself, they saw a profile Eugenia Zuckerman did on me many years ago on CBS Sunday Morning, wherein I was playing with an orchestra at Carnegie Hall. I was doing a recital upstate, and, you know, we were doing interviews and meeting folks at the concert. And then they would show me, you know, in my basement apartment in Manhattan, listening to Public Enemy and Skinny Puppy and all these very alternative bands, and waxing rhapsodic on their wonderful orchestral texturalizations of music. And they thought, well, here's somebody who might be able to talk to a younger audience without talking down to uninitiated classical music listeners, etc. So that came about. But as I said, we set out to make a show about young musicians, and it was originally going to be young musicians of all stripes, so bluegrass, jazz, mm-hmm. what have you. And our classical radio constituency really, you know, wanted a classical show, so it was really a matter of towing the line. At the midpoint of each of our hour-long broadcasts, though, there was a point at which stations would either play whatever we sent them or break away and take care of local business. Well, we didn't want our young charges to be at the whim of local stations as to whether they were going to be heard or not. So that was my solo place.
Mm-hmm. You have an album, so, don't you? At the Break, is that
actually,
right?
Yeah, actually, at the Break is a record we did for and through From the Top, and it was all of my classical break pieces and that I'd played over the years. And but at the same time, I thought it would be nice to use that as a situation in which to introduce people to unfamiliar music, and since it was unpre-announced, you know, people would assume that I was playing something classical. So when I started doing these arrangements, I would play them on the show, and then our announcer, Joanne Robinson, would come on and say that was our host, Christopher O'Reilly, playing Karma Police by Radiohead. Mm-hmm. And we would get email into the program saying, who is this Mr. Head, and where can I find more of his beautiful music? So I thought that was a good way of, you know, getting in under the wire, an idea of, you know, playing music that I believed in, regardless of its genre distinction.
So you're taping a From the Top from the Gettysburg Festival. That sounds like lots of fun.
We're looking forward to it. We've got a couple of Pennsylvania kids on the program, and a really great roster of pieces. And actually, I'll be doing a new piece on that as my break piece, one of Kenneth Fuchs's new Falling Canons, based on his Falling Man sort of aria for baritone and orchestra, based on the Don DeLillo post 9/11 novel.
Wow. Okay.
So yes, lots of fun things.
Any new recordings?
Great to get to Gettysburg.
That we can talk about very quickly. Just
nothing on the horizon. No, the newest one is Out of My Hands.
Yes.
On White Tie.
Yes.
And
that's
the new thing about that is that I do a lot of different bands' music on that. Nirvana, Pink Floyd, more Elliott Smith, more Radiohead, but there's Tori Amos and there's the Smiths and Cocteau Twins and various other folks.
That's
a nice record.
I think so. And again, we look forward to playing it even on the jazz portion. So take care and the best to you.
Thank you.
Once again, hope I will be speaking with you even more.
I'll look forward to the next time.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.